This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, open the eyes of our hearts that we might receive in a bigger way the peace that you promised to us. The peace that passes all understanding, the peace that will give us the strength, the comfort we need for our pilgrimage journey. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Pilgrimage. There are 26 of us who will be departing tomorrow for the lands of St. Paul in Greece, and to go to his ultimate burial place in Italy, and also to visit the resting place of the apostles Matthew and St. Andrew. So I thought it would be appropriate, especially in light of the gospel we just heard, to talk a bit about pilgrimage today for our reflection. And I want to ask us a question today that is this. In our approach to life, am I a tourist or am I a pilgrim? Let's talk about the differences. A tourist is educated. A pilgrim is transformed. A tourist takes photos. Pilgrims grow into the image they see. A tourist says, "I've been somewhere." But the pilgrim reports, "I've become someone." Do I live life simply seeking all the passing pleasures and distracting diversions I can find? Or do I have a more transcendent goal, loving God and neighbor? You see, there is the physical part of going on pilgrimage, but it represents as a microcosm the sort of macrocosm of the pilgrimage journey of life that we all are on. And so when we talk about going on pilgrimage, we already are on pilgrimage. So think of it in that term. There are 26 pilgrims who will travel. There are the rest who remain and continue their pilgrimage. So the question is important for all of us. You see, tourists want everything to go exactly as they have planned and imagined. If you've ever been on a pilgrimage with me or with someone else, you know that things never, never go as planned. The word Frankfurt Airport brings fear into Beth Shire's and everybody else's heart who were on our Oberammergau pilgrimage when everything got messed up and half of our group got stuck in Frankfurt. I could go to talk about our beloved friend Archdeacon Brian Hobbs, who went to heaven last month. And Archdeacon Brian went on our pilgrimage with us when we were going to Scotland to go to Iona, the land of St. Columba and St. Aidan. And we got to Newark Airport and all flights were canceled to Europe. We couldn't find anything to get us out of Newark. And if you've been to Newark Airport, you want to get out of Newark Airport. And we found that at the end of the day, right before midnight, there was one flight going to Europe that they could get us enough tickets on. But it wasn't going to Scotland, to Edinburgh. It was going to London. And I said, "We'll take it. Get us on the flight." We ran to the gate, thinking that we'll figure out the rest of it as we go. And so I bought the internet package on the international flight, and I'm communicating with our contacts over there. I'm on the web searching and figured out that there was a way that when we got to London, we could get the subway to the train station at King's Cross and then get a direct train that would get us up to Edinburgh. We'd only lose one day of our journey. And that is what we did. And we arrived in Edinburgh, and I just fell into bed. Now, when we finished that pilgrimage that is so rich with experiences of St. Columba, of Lindisfarne and Holy Island, and all that it means with St. Cuthbert, and all the experiences we had, I do a survey of our folks at the end of the pilgrimage, and I ask them, what was your favorite part? Would you believe what the majority of them said? Oh, that train ride from London to Edinburgh was wonderful. We did bond as a group because of that experience, but it about did me in. And it wasn't what we had planned, was it? So when we're talking about this pilgrimage of life that we are on, we need to acknowledge the fact things in our lives do not go as we planned. Talk to the three families this week who buried loved ones who they weren't ready to say goodbye to. It happens to us. People die unexpectedly. Relationships change unexpectedly. Our situation in life changes unexpectedly. And we come to the gospel today. And you talk about life changing unexpectedly. You have these disciples. They had given up everything. The fishermen gave up fishing. The tax collector gave up tax collecting. They all gave up everything that they had and did to follow this man, this God-man Jesus, because he, they believed, was the Messiah. And everything was all set. The road was straight before them. And something very unexpected happened. He died. They're hoping out the way that they would like it to have worked out for them. The gospel that we just heard comes on the tail end of the whole Emmaus story that I think we all know. That these two disciples are coming back, their hopes are dashed, they meet this stranger on the road, and he starts, what are you talking about as you walk? And they're saying how their hopes were dashed. We had hoped that Jesus was the one. And this stranger starts opening up the scriptures and saying, don't you remember those passages he taught you from the Old Testament that were saying all these things that you say have happened had to happen? And they still don't know who he is. And then he sits down with them to break bread with them. And in the breaking of the bread, they recognize who he is. Now, this passage we just heard comes on the heels of that. And the disciples still don't get it. They think he's a ghost. They've heard the reports. Some of them were part of the prior experiences. And here they are, and they just, because things are different. We talked about this on Easter. That there's something about this Jesus that is transformed with resurrection. And it is difficult at first to grasp it. Because things have not turned out the way that we had hoped. So what's the takeaway from this? In this resurrection appearance, in just about all of the 15, and especially the ones that we've heard since Easter, what's the first thing Jesus says to them? Peace be with you. In their state of confusion, despair, doubt, he wants them to know peace. I want you to have that peace that passes understanding. I want you to know that I am with you on this journey, that no matter what twists and turns life has brought you, I'm going to be with you to help you go forward. And so it becomes important for us to have the strength to sort of analyze, to process our lives, especially in terms of those things that seem to be broken, things that just haven't turned out the way I would like them to have gone. And it is in our willingness on our pilgrimage journey to process those things that God is going to make sure we know that God is with us and God is going to be able to move us forward. There's a great Anglican Episcopal priest by the name of Barbara Brown Taylor. I'm sure most of you have heard that name before. And when she is writing about this theme and this story, I want to read something, and this is a direct quote from what Barbara Brown Taylor writes. Jesus says to them on the road to Emmaus, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart." Or in other words, "You idiots. If you had read your Bibles, none of this would come as a surprise to you. It's right there in black and white. The Christ is not the one who wins the power struggle. Christ is the one who loses it. Christ is not the undefeated champion. He is the suffering servant, the broken one, who comes into his glory with his wounds still visible. Those hurt places are the proof that Christ is who he says he is, because the way you recognize Christ and his followers is not by their muscles, but by their scars. Which means they are not to despise the painful parts of their lives anymore. Which means they are not to interpret their defeats as failures anymore. Which means they are not to fear their enemies anymore, not even death itself. Contrary to all good common sense, they are to follow their leader into the scariest, most dangerous places in the world, armed with nothing but a first aid kit. Because they, us, like him, are not fighters but physicians, wounded healers, whose credentials are their own hurt places. The blindness of those two Emmaus disciples does not keep Christ from coming to them. He doesn't limit his appearances to those with full confidence in him. Jesus comes to the disappointed, the doubtful, the disconsolate. He comes to those who have given up and are headed back home, which makes this whole story, this whole pilgrimage life we are living together, a story about the blessedness of our brokenness. So I encourage us all, those who pilgrimage beyond the borders of our country tomorrow, those of us who pilgrimage within the borders of our own heart these next 12 days, let God touch that brokenness within you, whatever it might be. Be willing to process it with God. And perhaps, we too will be like those disciples. And when we recognize his presence, we'll run all the way to Jerusalem to share the good news of his love. Amen.